Welcome to the Agent of Wealth podcast with Mark Boutis from Boutis Financial. In this podcast, Mark helps guide you towards financial freedom, ensure you never run out of money, and create a balance in life that prioritizes what is most important to you. Join us for this journey as Mark draws from years of expertise and guest experts to solve the multiple wealth-building challenges involved in your financial life.
Welcome back to the Agent of Wealth podcast. This is your host, Mark Boutis. On today's episode, we have the third part of a series on jobs and careers. On episode 47, I talked with Jeffrey Goldman, a career coach, on how someone could look for a job right now during the pandemic. And on episode 48, I talked with Jen Slaverian on how employers can best execute a job search when trying to hire someone. On today's show, we're going to take it one step further and talk about how to treat your career as an asset, how to get the most out of it through coaching. To talk about how to best to do that, I brought on a special guest, Katie Stricker. Katie's the co-founder and president of Sage, and Sage is a professional development coaching firm where they have a model where they make coaching scalable to about 99% of employees who don't typically receive coaching. So Katie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited. Great topics, by the way, that you're covering.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, so let's start off a little bit of background on how you got into coaching and how you started Sage.
Yeah, I love telling this story, mostly because it starts 12 years ago. So I started working with my own coach over 12 years ago, actually. And, you know, back then, people kind of looked at me like I had three heads when I talked about having a coach. And the reason I pursued working with a coach, and by the way, I personally invested my own money. My company did not pay for it. I personally invested my own money in working with a coach. And it was because I'm from the Midwest. So I kind of grew up with this, you know, Midwest work hard mindset, which was great. And it got me a lot of visibility because I was just really hardworking. But what continued to happen was that I was just put in these situations where it felt like I was being dropped into the deep end of the pool without many lifeguards or, you know, life support around. And, you know, which is good for your career. And I was being put in front of really senior leaders. And yet I just didn't feel like I had any professional development support. I was doing a lot of reading on my own and researching, but working with a coach, I knew would really elevate my capabilities professionally. And it did. And coaching, you know, it paid itself back to me within the first year and then, you know, triple that, quadruple that, et cetera, over time. So it was a life-changing experience, both personally and professionally. I still work with a coach today, about 7 years working with my first coach. She actually left her practice to go work for a very, very prominent figure, which, you know, made sense. But it also made me wonder what I was going to do. And at the time I was consulting for a small consulting firm, working with pretty senior leaders at larger organizations and some startups. And I often found what it seemed they need most was actually more coaching versus consulting. And it was at that time I started working with my new coach and I decided to pursue my own coaching certification. And that was really to help complement my consulting capabilities. I had no intention to really start my own practice. Well, once I got into the training, I just fell more deeply in love with the practice and just knew how impactful it could be for other people. So while I was working full time, I started my own coaching practice on the side. I started coaching former clients, former bosses, former colleagues, some friends of friends, et cetera, and sort of built up my practice enough that I would eventually do that full time. And shortly after I really started coaching full time, I'd say it was about 2 months, I got an invitation, an email from a former colleague of mine, Jamie Bryant, who's now my co-founder, to go to lunch. I hadn't talked to him in many years, but he had heard I became a coach and he became interested in coaching. And so we met for coffee. So that's my kind of personal journey into coaching. And then for Sage, really it was over that coffee, Jamie had told me his story, which was very different. He actually like loved his job, worked his way up the corporate ladder, got a very senior position and suddenly found himself one day hating his job and just didn't know what to do. And his fiance at the time, now wife, said, well, why don't you work with a coach? And he had no idea what coaching was. And this was only 4 years ago. And he worked with a coach and he had a similar experience. It was completely life-changing for him. So he asked himself two questions. How could I have gone through my entire career and never had heard about coaching? And then two, why don't more people work with a coach? And we sat down over coffee. He asked me these questions. He said, I know you became a coach. And, you know, we kind of talked about the idea of Sage, and within a couple of weeks, there we were. We sat in a room, we drew out on a whiteboard what we believe this company should do. And that was democratize access to coaching, because you either are outpaying for yourself, or the most senior people, the C-suite, are the only people who are actually benefiting from it. And actually, coaching is so much more beneficial the sooner in your career that you can tap into it. And so that's why we started Sage. So Sage is a one-to-one professional development coaching platform that coaches non-executives. And our mission is to support people throughout their entire working life, through every stage they possibly could be in, and really provide coaching at scale for companies. So we're a B2B business. We're working with over 30 plus companies. Last year alone, we delivered over 6,000 coaching sessions, which we're really proud of. We've coached everywhere from the assistant to the chief operating officer, which is, you know, amazing to be able to support an individual contributor. We coach a lot of new managers. And then we coach people who might be 15 years in their career, but their companies just never gave them access to coaching before.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. And I know you mentioned two things. One, you mentioned Jamie had never heard of Coach before.
Yeah.
And then you said when you started working with one, people were looking at you like you had three heads. And I've had a similar experience. So I'm a big proponent of coaching, use coaches all the time. But it's weird that people don't know what a coach does, or why would someone fathom using a coach?
Yeah.
Which is strange, because a lot of people grow up playing things like sports where there's sure. coaches involved, or like the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts where there's that figure that's a coach. But like you said, it's so many people don't realize the benefit that one can play.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I think the shift is one of, they call it the war of core talent. And, you know, so basically what's happened over time, specifically the last 10 years since the last recession, and even before then it started to happen, but it wasn't as prominent. But the idea of people leaders, so learning and development as a function has been around for decades, and yet it wasn't necessarily seen as a must have, right? When the quote unquote war for talent really started to happen, when technology started to take over, when people were looking for the best of the best, the smartest people to bring into organizations, they needed to give them more than just a job, right? And benefits. And, you know, people no longer stay at companies for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, right? People are constantly looking for that next challenge, especially smart, really talented people. And so as the rise of this people function, learning and development started to happen, those people started actually tapping into coaching for themselves. So they would get coaching for themselves. They'd actually go on to become certified coaches. They started to see the value of coaching for themselves and wanting to bring it to more people in their company. On the flip side of that market is that coaching, because it has been so coveted, and frankly, I mean, look, I'm a coach, so I'm saying this with a lot of love. I mean, coaching is still a little bit of the Wild West, right? It's not regulated. Now, you know, anyone could technically call themselves a coach. And, you know, there is the International Coach Federation, the governing body of coaches. And, you know, in order to get that, you have to have certain milestones within your education and also meet qualifications and go through testing in order to get that qualification. But it's still a little bit of the Wild West. And so basically people would go to get their certifications and they'd want to coach executives. It's an incredibly lucrative career for sure. But no one was kind of coming and saying, how could I make more people benefit from this on a wider scale, until the last few years, where people were saying, okay, much like we asked those two questions, you know, if we coach people in the middle, right, like the new managers, imagine the impact that has below and above, right? Versus just coaching five people at the top of the triangle, if you will, or however, sometimes it's a rectangle these days. But so the rise of that people function, the rise of the chief HR officer, which used to be more about compliance and more about legal and regulatory and making sure you've got all the right things in place from a benefit perspective, the rise of that chief people officer function, which is more about what's the most amazing people experience that we can give, right? That goes above and beyond just a paycheck and benefits and time off, right? That rise has created this demand for new technologies to come in and create those experiences for employees. So to your question or to your note about how do you invest in talent or how do you invest in your career, you know, right? It is taking a step back and looking at, all right, what are the things that we want our people to experience? What do they want to, what do we want them to be saying about our company? You know, and how do we create those pieces for them? There is so much data that says that people would rather have things like professional development opportunities, learning and development opportunities versus more money, you know? And so the people who know that, the progressive people leaders who are strategic thought leaders, strategic business partners to the CEO and the CFO, you know, they understand that and they want to invest in that. So they are out looking for companies like us to give that experience.
That's great. But yeah, and I think, you know, you talk to anyone and they'll say they want to improve, they want to get better, they want their people working under them to get better. How does a coach come in and do that? So what is, you know, let's start getting into like, what does an engagement look like? And I think maybe that even helps with people understanding, yeah, this is how coaching works and improves things.
Totally. And, you know, it's great that we're talking now because as I said, as we were kind of warming up here, I just came off of new customer kickoff calls all morning, which is exciting. So, and I'll give you two examples, right? So one is an example of a 2,500 person professional services organization and talking about war for talent. They have a very niche product that they deliver. And so they are constantly fighting and battling turnover and churn, right? And so we've been working with this company for almost 2 years and they came to us and said, we have to add more value around the people experience. We're thinking about launching this program and Sage can kind of be at the base of it, right? And so the idea is that it's a learning experience. There's some things that they do internally, but Sage is kind of the core anchor in terms of that one-on-one coaching. Mm-hmm. So we started working with them over a year and a half ago. And the way we work with them, the way an engagement works with them is we run what we call a seats model. So they buy 40 seats from us every month. And then they have an opportunity to rotate people out of those seats every 3 months.
Okay.
So over the course of a year, we're touching over 120 people. If you imagine some people drop out and more people come in or people, you know, et cetera. And so it's a way to have scale and reach, right? So when you're able to reach over 120 people at your organization throughout the year, when before you were maybe able to reach 15, 10 or 15, like that's huge. Sure. At the end of the year last year, we did a comparable survey study with this organization of the cohort that went through the Sage sort of program that was obviously called something else internally with them, but we were the core of it with the non-Sage group. The intent to stay at the organization was 11% higher at the Sage group. So and there were also higher engagement levels or also there were all these other higher benchmarks for the Sage group versus the non-Sage group. Mm-hmm. So that right there, right, is a really great case study and example of the impact. Now, another company and we worked in that way with a few other companies. Now, another company that we kicked off today, much smaller, you know, they are 250 people and they put a lot into their learning and development. And what they want to do is make sure that this one cohort of individuals, this manager, they're called team leads, which is basically their manager group, has support as they transition into taking on more responsibility. And in this case, we're kicking off a 6-month engagement. It's 50 people, and it's going to be an incredibly robust program. Everyone will receive 12 sessions. That's because we work in a 2 sessions per month model. So they're going to be working with us over a 6-month period, the same people. So it also can look like that. So it depends on the company's goals. It also, you know, depends on their approach to other programs and how can we seamlessly sort of plug into those. But an engagement with Sage in general at minimum is 10 people for 3 months and that 6 45-minute virtual coaching sessions with a personalized matched coach. So we have a matching survey that we take in. We compare that with our coach match survey and then we make the really highly personalized match.
in between those twice a month sessions, are they working on specific things? Do you give them, you know, assignments, I guess you can call them, and then you hold them accountable to? Or what does it look like in between the 45-minute sessions that you have?
Well, we're a strong believer in personalization, that no two individuals are alike, and the same with coaches, right? No two coaches are the same. We don't have a applied SAGE, quote unquote, coaching way, because we actually think that diminishes the quality. Because in that case, you should just pay for a one-to-many training and everyone's kind of getting the same thing, right? The personalized approach means that if you, Mark, let's say you want to work on your presentation skills, right? You know, and you like really direct feedback. Well, we have a coach that does both of those. And so we'd say, Mark, great. You might have a colleague who wants to work on getting a promotion and maybe like relationship skills, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe that person is a bit more introverted, right? We have a coach who matches those two things, right? And so the exercises, the homework, what you might do in between will definitely look different, because you're working on different areas, because you're working with different coaches. The straight answer is yes, there's always going to be things you're working on depending on you, your coach, your ability in terms of timing to work on those things. But there's definitely work that's done. You have to show up. You have to want to do the work. And, you know, you have to make commitments in terms of making progress, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's great, because I love the customizable approach to it. And yeah. I think the both the employer and the employee get something out of it. You know, like
absolutely.
You mentioned the survey, the retention, that's with it. But also, you know, going back to that whole treating the career as an asset, these people are developing, they're becoming better. And, you know, like you said, whether it's a relationship skill or some other type of skill that they're trying to improve on, the coaching is helping them do that.
I think to build on the idea of it as an investment, as a business leader, right? So if you're a people leader, if you're a business owner or a business leader in any way, you know, think of it this way. When you have coaching or you provide coaching to your team, there is a much wider ripple effect that happens, right? It's yes, that individual is getting coached, but that individual is also picking up on their own coaching skills. They're learning a lot about themselves, which means that they can also then understand others better. And so you're impacting a lot more people than just that one person. So we delivered 6,000 coaching sessions last year, but I can guarantee that the impact of that is much, much, much broader.
Sure. And do people, like, I know that a lot of the engagements are those twice a month, 3 months. Do people say, I really like this, I want to keep doing it longer? And
totally. You
know, yeah, I'm sure that happens a lot.
Yeah. I mean, so I said the 10 people sort of 3 month minimum, that's like our minimum. That's mm-hmm. like, if you want to work with us, you know, and we, you know, and it works out, that's where a lot of times that's just where we start, because it's a very easy entry point. It's less than $10,000 to do that. You know, it's highly impactful. And it's a little bit of a pilot or test, right? I would say more than 85% of the time, people are asking for more, if not more than that. You know, I mean, people are mm-hmm. like, I had 6 sessions, can I have more?
Sure.
We actually recommend, if a company is coming to us and they want to touch more people and they want to have a bigger program, we actually say at minimum start with 6 months. That's actually a really that's not a finger in the wind number. We've done a lot of testing and learning around 6 sessions is almost too little. Mm-hmm. 12 sessions is kind of like, great, this has been perfect for me, right? And, you know, we always work in the middle, maybe it's 8 sessions, 10 sessions, whatever. But we actually recommend, if you can start with the 6 months and the 12 sessions, to start there. But the minimum is 3 months with 6 sessions and 10 people.
Okay. And is it any specific industries that take it, you know, that it works for, or is it can be utilized across different industries or different sectors?
So much about that question is around the mindset of the leadership. Mm-hmm. So I would say, just looking at our customer base in general, there isn't one industry that is over-indexing over others. It is about the mindset of the people. So if the people believe that investing in people's experience with your company, investing in their careers when they're with you is important, or individually, right? Then those are the people that are more likely to want to engage with us. I guess I would take a step back and say that maybe high tech growth is an area where we see a little bit more of those people. You know, it's like mostly because those companies are, you know, again, they have to fight harder for the talent. They, you know, they have to have people who are more dedicated to what they're doing because they're working a lot harder in some cases. So I will say, you know, we do have a pretty nice group of sort of high tech growth startup kind of companies. I say startup, they're post-startup, but they're on growth stage, right? You know, but we're working with everywhere from traditional, like, you know, BMW, you'd consider a much more traditional company. Chubb Insurance, a 30,000 person global organization, actually has incredibly, incredibly progressive people leadership. From the outside, you might not think that, but it's very, very true. And then, you know, we're working with like Vimeo, very creative digital platform. We're working with a company called MeUndies, which is a, you know, subscription, one of these newer subscription services. I go back to mindset of leadership. If I've been in the room with 15 people leaders, let's say, and sometimes obviously more depending on the environment, I can tell right away by the questions that people ask whether or not this is something that they want to invest in. Mm-hmm. And when I say if this is something, Sage, that they want to invest in, I mean, do they want to invest in their people versus just worry about compliance, right, you know, and the baseline things that they have to provide to employees?
Sure. And is it all done? I mean, I guess now it's all done virtually, but even before the pandemic, was all the coaching sessions done virtually, or was it a mix? Or
yeah, Sage is, you know, it's interesting. I noticed in the beginning you said, you know, Sage as a firm, we're really a platform. You know, we're an online platform. We were designed to work 100% virtually. So our entire coaching team is 100% distributed. We have two coaches in Ireland. We have a coach in Europe. We have coaches in Canada. We have coaches all around the US. We have a coach in the Philippines. We're growing our coach community in Europe. So, and Asia as well. So we are 100% set up for this environment. And I think that's what's made us very easy to continue working with throughout this time. And the really progressive mindset people who aren't going through significant crises within their organizations are doubling down on learning and development and opportunities to work with companies like us, because they know now more than ever their employees need really strong additional support. And that personalization aspect is something you just can't beat.
Sure. Are there any like books or anything you recommend someone doing or outside of, let's say, the coaching sessions?
It's, you know, you caught me at the right moment because it goes back to personalization, right? It depends on where you are at your stage in your career, what point you are in your leadership. And so, you know, I have a couple, what I consider Bible books, you know, that I constantly go to for myself, but also that I recommend to others, but they're not necessarily for everyone, right? So, you know, I think there's a couple books I would say that really stand out to me. Getting to Yes is a great book. Mm-hmm. Obviously it might be considered like an old school negotiation book, but it's a classic. There is a book I always recommend for female leaders called Taking the Stage. Radical Candor is a great book. Atomic Habits is a great book. I'm looking around at all my books I keep by as kind of my, as sort of my mindset, Growth Mindset by Carol Dweck. Another good one. So I think it depends on what you want, right? If if you're a business leader and you're struggling with tapping in from management to leadership, which is different, right? Managing and leading is different. The mindset that you need to have, the activities you do, and the things that your team are looking towards. Depending on where you are in that journey, there's different books that I would recommend or readings. You know, I think the biggest thing to think about, the growth mindset, the Carol Dweck, is probably the biggest one as far as mindset work that people can really do. And even, you know, it's interesting. I love the questions that you've been asking around investing in people's careers, investing in talent. And that's a mindset question, right? Like if your mindset is like, well, if I invest in my people and then they leave, it's kind of like, well, why should I do that? You know, there's a huge fixed mindset around that, right? versus, wow, if I invest in my people, maybe there might be some more innovation there that I haven't tapped into yet. And when they do leave my company, they're going to have all these great things to say about working here because I offered X, Y, and Z, which is only better for you, right? So, sure. So that's what I would go back to, just the mindset piece.
Yeah. You mentioned Atomic Habits. That's actually one of the favorite books I've read recently. It's
so good.
It's really interesting how he breaks down, you know, a high level something you're trying to improve on, and he breaks it down into these are the really minute steps that you have to take to do it, and how to trigger the right behaviors on it.
I have created certain, not a lot, not to the, I mean, you can't do it all. And that's, it's kind of one of his points is sort of don't try to change too much at once, but I definitely have created very clear, positive habits after reading that book.
Yeah. So what else, you know, as part of the engagement, you know, I guess to help people visualize again, going back to that, yeah, coaching can really help. What can you give an example of maybe like a challenge that someone was having that they were able to utilize you or one of the coaches and were able to get past it or to improve up upon a certain skill or something. And maybe that'll help, you know, really, I guess people can understand, yeah, this is how coaching can come into play and how coaching can benefit someone.
Yeah. And I think just to speak to your audience who are, you know, most likely business leaders or senior leadership, or even maybe in the HR and people space. I think thinking about coaching for yourself is one thing, but also thinking about coaching for your teams, it's the same and it's also different, right? So a lot of times in the past, coaching has been seen as this remedial, oh, that person has a problem, we got to fix them, go get them a coach because I don't want to deal with it, right? Like, bring someone else in to go manage and tackle that problem with that person, right? Sage is a different proposition. We're actually all about proactive professional development. So it's actually looking at your team and going, yeah, no one's perfect and they have stuff to work on, but I love this team or I love these people. And how do I elevate them and how do I support them? And for yourself, you know, sometimes that can look like you don't want to deal with conflict.
Right, right. Just kind of hand it off to someone else, right? And let them.
So to my first point, if you are thinking about like, yeah, getting coaching for my people would be great right now because I don't want to deal with them, you know, like that's where you likely need the coaching. So this is a really great example. I've coached a lot of people who have a really hard time addressing people with poor performance. And so much of that is around people's inability to have positive, what I call positive conflict, you know, which is tapping into your values, figuring out where you can have what you might consider conflict in a way that makes you feel good, right? Because we can't avoid conflict. The more we avoid it, the more it just builds up. So for example, let's just go with that for a second. So if you're a senior leader, you've got people on your team that aren't performing, you feel like you've talked to them, but like you're not getting through or it's not changing. In that situation, I would come in and we would work on what are your core values as a human? Where are you in conflict with those values when you think about having a conversation with this person about their performance? How could you use those values to have the conversation? So I talk a lot about one of my core values around generosity. I have to have a lot of hard conversations with people constantly. And so working with my coach, I asked, you know, she asked me, well, going into this conversation, where, you know, what value could you use? And so I thought, wow, okay, this is interesting. How could I approach this conversation from a place of generosity? And it really changes your mind because then I'm like, oh, I'm giving them something. I'm giving them information that at the end of the day is going to be helpful for them.
Sure.
Right. And by avoiding that, I'm actually not living within my values. Right. So that's just one way. And then just having that person practice with you about how to have the conversations that are direct and assertive with kindness. Right. And how do they talk to someone about their performance in a way that's effective? You know, so it's a lot about, tapping into people's fears. I'll just give you another example. I was working with a new manager who was thrust into being part of this sort of triad team of other peers. So not a direct report, not a boss, the peer that they have to work with. And I was working with this person and this person was really struggling with one of the people on the team and just was not able to harness the sort of dialogue to have what is a tough conversation. And that impacted this person's confidence.
Sure.
You know, they felt like they were inferior. They felt like this person didn't respect them. They felt like the work that they worked so hard to do no longer mattered. And so we had to dig a lot into all those different areas. And at the end of the day, we had to sit down and craft a conversation with this person's peer that expressed their feelings and opened up dialogue in order to demystify some of these beliefs and stories this person had sort of created, mm-hmm. but also create a stronger relationship. So I just talked about really negative stuff there, but from a positive perspective, I could also say,
sure.
you know, there's people who suddenly they find themselves in this big project and they want to go after a promotion and they've been doing so great. And so in that case, it could be just helping them create the case for the promotion and practice asking for it.
Yeah.
Right. And we love promotion stories. It's so fun and great. And
sure. And you mentioned confidence. I'm sure a lot of it comes down to improving people's confidence and, you know, and all different types of things that they're doing. But that's a great area that, you know, if people improve, it can go a long way in helping them.
It's so fascinating you said that, because when people outline in our matching survey that they want to work on executive presence, presentation skills, communication, so much of it actually underneath the surface is about confidence. Yeah,
I can definitely see that.
Yeah. You nailed it right on the head.
Yeah. So we're just about out of time. Definitely. Thank you. Really appreciate you coming on. How best can someone reach out to you, learn more about Sage, if they want to get in touch with you?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, first of all, I want to say thanks so much for having me. This was great. I want to say again that I'm really happy you're digging into these really fantastic topics, especially at a time like now when it's all on everyone's mind.
Yeah.
So the best way to reach out is obviously go to our website, visit us at www.hellosage.com, and Sage is spelled SAYGE.com.
Okay.
You can also email me directly, katie@hellosage.com. And yeah, just check us out, reach out if you'd like to chat, if you have people on your team you'd like to support, we'd be thrilled to do that. And again, we have a really, really digestible entry point pilot for less than $10,000 to reach 10 of your people for 3 months, which is a really, really easy and simple way to work with us. And it delivers results. We report back to the organization from an anonymous confidential spot, so that you see the impact that you're getting from the work.
Awesome. We'll link to all that in the show notes. And thanks again for being on. And thank you everyone for tuning into today's episodes. And until next time, have a great day.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Agent of Wealth podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered represents the views and opinions of the guests and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Boutis Financial. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only and is not intended to be a substitute for professional financial planning and investment advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investments and financial planning.